broadcasters.
Okay, now when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, all you precious Blood River Radio family members out there and all you precious Blood River Radio people that support us, our show. Today is a very unusual show. I've got thrills, chills, spills. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But anyway, who are you listening to? Well, you might want to know. You're listening to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. I am the founder and the host of Blood River Radio. And we are proudly, and I do mean proudly, syndicated by New Cloud Media, Jay and Lizzie and Liberty News Radio and Sam Bushman. Without those people, we could not go out. Matter of fact, thanks to Jay and a bunch of young guys, one of them I'm looking at right now, we would not be operating. But because you know what? Me and James, I'll give you a little tidbit before we go to the prayer. Me and James came down. We left the house yesterday. We came from Memphis, and we came down to Wetumpka, Alabama, and we're covering a conference down here. There's a lot going on. I'm so excited, and I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. But people, if you know, this is a Christian radio show, so we always say a prayer before we go anywhere. And excuse me just a minute. I'm going to ask somebody something.
Gar, are you a Christian? Would you like to say a prayer?
Okay, we have a young guy here, and I don't hardly ever do this, but this young fella, I think he's 19. His name is Gunner, and I think he's from Florida, if I remember right. In
West Virginia.
Oh, West Virginia. He's come down from West Virginia. And he is a very impressive man, and he's going to say the official Blood River Radio prayer. Go ahead. His name is Gunner. He's only 19 years old. We had some kids like that at Charlottesville 9 years ago. By the way, this is the Holy of Holy Weeks. This is the Charlottesville week. We'll be covering other things but Charlottesville. But Charlottesville is always going to be a clue. It's going to be a really, really unorthodox show. But anyway, Gunder, if you will, son, go ahead and say the prayer.
Yes, sir. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for being here for us, for being a great God, for looking after us and being there for us through every struggle. Dear God, we ask that you protect every young Southerner and every man here, man, woman, child. We thank you, Lord, for everything you have done and the opportunities you have given us. The opportunity to wake up every morning and to serve you, Lord, is the greatest opportunity we could have. Dear Lord, I ask that you continue to use your strength to empower us to fulfill your word. Dear Lord, thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, that is a fantastic, on a 10-point scale, that's a 12 prayer. People, I'm so, so impressed with this young man. They are the new vanguard. They're coming and replacing old heads like us. You know, we'll pass away. That's just the way. And he's an impressive Christian man. We'll get more to him in just a minute. But I'd just like to give you an outline and tell you what's been happening. Before I tell you what we did, I'll go further in. In fact, James is out. He's supposed to be here, but I'm sure he's been detained by a bunch of people asking him questions. Anyway, the first hour and the second hour and the third hour is going to be bedlam. So you might be able to hear some noise outside. There's a big conference. We're at the Southern Cultural Center in Wetumpka, Alabama. This used to be home base for the League of the South. I was a very proud member of the League of the South, and I'll always die a League of the South. I'll never change that name. But you know, also, this is a Charlottesville week, a Charlottesville month, and this is Charlottesville week. Charlottesville, my God, I just can't say enough about Charlottesville. But anyway, you know, that it was that fateful day in August of 2017. I wrote up to, I've said this 100,000 times, I wrote to Charlottesville. Well, in June of 2017, I came down here, got in the League of the South, thanks to Rich Hamlin. 2 months later, little did I know how bloody Charlottesville was going to be. Well, we went to Charlottesville. All you people know what happened there. We're going to be talking a little bit about Charlottesville. We're going to have Charlottesville veterans on the night. But right now, this is about a conference put on by the Southern Cultural Center. And League of the South members are here. Matter of fact, Dr. Michael Hill is here. We're going to be interviewing him. He's going to be giving a big speech at 4 o'clock. Michael Tubbs is here. Rand Owens is here. Brad Griffin is here. All this, about 8 Charlottesville veterans are here. But right now, listen, I'll tell you more about our trip coming down where James comes here. This we'll be working this loose outline. We're going to work Don Black in as we can. You know who Don Black is. He was the leader of the Klan. He's been everything you can think of. He comes on our show sometimes. 40-50 years ago, he was where Gunner is right now. But anyway, folks, I'm trying to think the donors we had. We have one new donor signed up. I wished I had his name. I left my books at home, but he lives in Florida. He is the fellow from Chicago who's migrated down to Florida. He told me that he was not a typical bad Yankee. He's a good Yankee. He's relocated in Florida. We'll get that name, God willing, if I make it back to Memphis next week. I'll get that his name. It's rather unusual last name, but anyway, he's joined. I sent him a letter after he'd been sending in 2 donations, and he said he's going to become a proud member, a proud donor of Blood River Radio. Lord knows we can sure use it. But anyway, so much for that. Gunner, you just said you're from West Virginia, and this is a long ways down here from West Virginia. If you don't mind, Gunner, I'm going to hand you the mic. Once again, we had to leave by the seat of our pants. I wasn't able to bring extra mics, extra headsets. But we're going to share this. We're going to make it go. But I'm very, very excited about getting new young guys coming in to do what they're supposed to be doing, protecting the white race. So, Gunner, I'm going to get you to hold the microphone and we'll kind of share it. And I'm going to ask you questions. Why did you come down here? First of all, tell the people your full name. Tell them your age, even though I already did. Tell them where you're from, what organization you're from, that you're in. And then I'll ask you other questions like, why in the world would someone like you, 19 years old, instead of out chasing some young teenage girl like you are, dating, why did you join this organization? I don't even know the name of the organization, but tell the people the name of the organization you're in and your aspirations, why you did it, and what your goals are, and later on what the plans y'all have for the day. But go ahead, in your own words. You're smart. You're smarter than I am. Go ahead, Gunner.
Yes, sir, and thank you. My name is Michael Johnson. I am a proud Southern Nationalist. Drove 9 hours down from southeastern West Virginia. Me and my brother come down. I am with the organization Southland. We are a Southern Nationalist organization wishing to reinstate the, you know, idea of Southern Nationalism, wishing to implement a new generation, a lifestyle of healthiness, of activism. We wish to unite communities of white Southerners to uphold our culture and traditions. We are in a time where white Southerners are at a turning point where either we make a decision to save ourselves from extinction, or make the decision to just lay down and take it. And the decision should obviously be the first one, to stand up for ourselves, to stop this extinction of our people, to pursue a destiny that is ours.
That's the young people say that. Awesome. I think they still use the term. You're impressing me more by the minute. All you guys, you're so smart and energetic. Yeah, good looking young white guys. I've got chills. But go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you, Governor.
Yes, sir. No interruptions here. Glad to be here. We have worked very hard to bring a sense of community back into the South. You know.
Forgot. What's the name of your organization? I'm sorry.
Southland, sir.
Okay. I'm sorry. Excuse me. My ears are shot.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to the DC. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. We are continuously working hard. Our efforts have not gone unseen. We are an organization that is persistent on our goals, and we have done everything possible, and we will continue to do everything possible to bring a better life for the Southern people and for our future generations. It is not the time to sit anymore. It's the time to stand up. Everybody's too couch locked. And if we continue to be couch locked and continue to go to the polls and vote for politicians who are Jewish and do not care about us, and they wish to fulfill the Jewish goal, not...
We have to go to our first break. You have done magnificent. You really have. God bless you, Gunner. Listen, I'm going to get one of your brothers in here. And would you like to ask your brother some questions while he got in? Gunner's going to be one of these guys. They're going to be sitting in for me.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag.
Dear Blood River Radio faithful, I'm here to tell you that young man, I mean, I was calling him Gunner, he asked how did he do? A 10 out of 10, that's what it was. Well, I wish the hell I could do as well. We have another fellow right here. He's in the same organization. I'm old, so I forgot. What's the name of the organization?
Southland.
His name is Luke. He's in here. Luke, if you will, I'm going to give you the mic. I want you to tell the people where you're from, how far it took you to get down here. Why did you get in the organization? Name the organization. Give me your age. Why aren't you out as a good-looking young guy like you? You keep out chasing women. Women would be flocking over you. Why the hell did you come all the way down here and put your life on the line? Because, by the way, people, they're going into Montgomery, Alabama after a while. They're going to be doing a protest at the post office. They're going to protest the SPLC. They're putting the line. They're risking jail. You know that. You know what happened to us in Charlottesville. By the way, I'd just like to remind you, this is Charlottesville week. It's sacred to me, folks. But anyway, Luke is going to tell you that. He's going to tell you where he's from. Now, well, you know all the crap all the stuff I ask him. So, Luke, if you will, keep your close to the microphone.
Hi, I'm Luke from West Virginia. We drove down this weekend because we wanted to take a stand for what we believe in and our values and trying to protect a future for our people. there was really never any question about this for me. Someone had to do it. You have to do your duty. And I'm just proud to be here, and it's been a great experience. We will be heading into Montgomery after this to do a demonstration and read out a list of grievances we have with the government and how they have failed to represent the interests of the Southern people.
So, let me ask you this. Luke, if you're a young guy, what's some of the first things that got you if you got alarmed? Have you ever faced discrimination for being white? Have you ever faced discrimination on the job site? Have you seen a change? As young as you are, you couldn't possibly see what I've seen. But have you seen a change in your environment? The attitude of the media, of the government, I mean, for instance, the government kowtowing and bending over backward for Israel, even their sacred Trump, he turned out to be, as far as I'm concerned, he's a liberal, he's a Jew. I mean, but that's not what I'm think that counts. I want you to give your opinions. What were the first things that you could say that, say, hey, something's not right? Was it instinct? Was it government that's screwing over you, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I remember I was younger during the first Trump election, and I remember this kind of wave of populism and hope that we would finally have a politician that would stand up to what was going on in this country. But then as time went on, we saw that he played the exact same games that all these other politicians have played. And he didn't put a stop to any of these things that are happening. And I have seen a change, you know, because originally I am from North Carolina. And I remember, you know, the people growing up and what the demographics look like. And it's just not the same anymore. I go back and the only thing I can recognize are the street names. I don't recognize anything else. I don't recognize the people. They are not from here. They do not represent our culture. They don't represent our values. You know, you're lucky if they even want to speak our language. And I just couldn't stand to see what my ancestors had fought for, you know, building this country and making what it was go down the drain.
You're doing great. Listen, how would you rate, I know, coming down here with me and James, and I see price increases every day, but my God, the prices, just you're going in and you get like, I don't eat junk food. By the way, trade from airlines, but I'm telling these young guys that. But anyway, a bag of jerky. James is getting some jerky and some snacks for little Henry, his son. You can't afford. Listen, Luke. I don't know how young guys like you, with what inflation is. Or I'm gonna ask you this: do you know? Do you personally, or you Gunner, or you Isaiah, are you? Have you? Experiencing, or you know any people your age experiencing difficulties in keeping food on the table related to inflation? Or do you know anybody, or are you familiar with yourself, anybody else, having difficulty, for instance, to try to buy a house? Let me ask you this. Are you having any problems? Are you seeing anybody having difficulty, white people, putting food on the table? And a secondary question is, do you notice when you go to the grocery stores, these colors, these non-whites, it's obvious, in my opinion, I don't know if you've noticed it, they were being very well taken care of the government. Do you have any prospects of having a house? Is your any prospects for a greater future as far as employment, being able to have a wife, children, or do you fear not being able to earn enough money to do those things? And do you see the connection between that and the overwhelming numbers of being overwhelmed with just a tsunami of illegal immigration? Does any of those concerns, have you noticed any of those concerns? The food, housing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, I would like to say personally, I've been very blessed with my employment, but I know many hardworking young men my age. And I mean, they're unable to even move out and they work 40, 50 hours a week. A lot of blue collar trade jobs, hard jobs. And at the same time, you see all these people, you know, come to the United States in Europe that are not from there, and they just get handouts from the government. You know, they'll have 15 kids and be able to feed them all and hardly ever work. And then you see, you know, young families trying to start out, and they can't even afford to get their own place, let alone buy one. They can hardly rent one.
Well spoken. You know, I hear people, Luke, in Memphis, where I'm from, you hear it all the time, especially from old heads. Well, these Mexicans, these people from Colombia, these people from India will do jobs that white people want to do. Just an example, in the VA, the Veterans Hospital, where I'm treated because I can't afford to have insurance right now, our cardiology department in the VA completely taken over by Indians. Baptist Memorial Hospital in Memphis, what used to be a diamond, a crowning jewel in the crown of the United States medical system, a Baptist Memorial Hospital in Isaiah and Gunner, was considered one time the largest private hospital in the world, I've been told. People came from all over the world to do residency there. Now, it's getting, I'm going to see if you notice any of this. It's the medical staff, especially the doctors, browner and browner, more yellow, primarily from India, Pakistan. I don't want to know, have you noticed any of that? And have you noticed any of that in the medical system? And do you have any concerns in the future? For instance, somebody who worships cows.
Yeah.
Treating you. Say, for a few answers, would you want somebody who's working, worshiping cows, working on you, or maybe your wife 10 years from now, doing hard labor? Go into the medical system.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely not. And if you look at it, a lot of this medical education they get in these other countries is very poor. And they come over here and they use that to take jobs from Americans. You know what I mean? And also, maybe not so much with the medical field, but you see a lot of workers come in and they'll work 6 months in the United States, take all the profit that they made, and instead of it being reinvested back in the country that gave them this opportunity, they take it home back with them, and it goes to their families back home instead of giving back to the country that gave them that chance.
I saw just yesterday coming home, we're getting ready to go to another break in about 2 minutes. I saw Luke and Isaiah and Gunter just yesterday. I saw a brand spanky new truck I only wished I could have. It was like not the one half ton, but the three quarter ton, brand new Dodge Ram, easily $100,000, pulling a shiny wagon, bright red wagon. Guess what it had? I mean, a storage bin, a moving storage, a small tractor trailer, that, for lack of better words. And guess what was written on it?
What?
La Raza. In parentheses, it says the race. I don't know. And I'm thinking, well, finish out that thought. I'll ask you, do you feel like, this is what some people say, a rhetorical question. Is that somehow a slap in the face of you young guys? You're out here working your ass off. I bet you $10 you don't have a $100,000 Dodge Ram. And I bet you you're not going around there saying, Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, American Nazi Party, the League of the South, et cetera, et cetera. Expand upon that just a little bit, Luke, before we go to break, man.
Well, absolutely, and I think part of that, too, I mean, you see, you know, with the La Raza thing, they can have pride in what they are, but then as a white person, you're not allowed to. And also another thing, too, how they're able to pool this wealth is they kind of collectivize together, but that is practically, you know, illegal and completely unacceptable for the whites to try and do that. And I like to see the whites try and start to do that more, where we have a sense of community and try and support one another and give other white people these employment opportunities instead of outsourcing. And I will say, in the industry I work in, the quality of work, you know, that I see in the other trades, which is dominated a lot of times by immigrants, is nowhere near what it should be or what it would be if it was done by white workers. And, you know, they say, well, they do it for cheaper, but, I mean, at the end of the day, the quality speaks for itself of the work when it's done by a white man. You know what I mean?
You're doing great. You're doing great. You know, and we're going to a break this minute. We'll get Isaiah in. We probably got another minute. But you brought up a great point. And you alluded to the fact, pointed to the fact that the quality of work is lesser. Going to, Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to the bottom of the hour break. It's going to be about 4 minutes. You've got plenty of time to get coffee, use the restroom, whatever. Be back in 4 minutes, though. You want to listen to the Outstanding Guys.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. Virginia State University says multiple people have been shot on its main campus.
Virginia State University says its main campus is on lockdown after multiple people were shot. A school statement says none of the injuries appear to be life-threatening and that there were multiple shooters. The school says the shooting happened near the university's quad annexes and that both campus and Chesterfield County Police are investigating. I'm Donna Water.
President Trump is praising gains in his crime crackdown across the country as the FBI releases statistics from 2025. Correspondent Laura Winters reports.
The 2025 annual FBI crime report shows violent crime is down more than 9%, murder and robbery down more than 18%, and rape down more than 7% across the country. President Trump at an event celebrating law enforcement on Friday in Nassau County, Long Island.
Let's say they don't have good leadership, like Chicago has very bad leadership, but we have the numbers down because of what the federal government's doing. We get no credit for it because they say, well, we get no credit for it. They like to take all the credit, but everyone knows.
Laura Winters reporting.
Lala is now officially a hurricane as it approaches the Big Island of Hawaii. The latest update from the National Hurricane Center shows that Lala strengthening to a Category 1 storm with maximum sustained winds of 75 miles an hour. It's about 90 miles southeast of South Point, Hawaii, and moving to the west at about 12 miles per hour. A hurricane warning is in effect with heavy rain, flooding, and dangerous storm surge expected. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Larry Elder here. When it comes to supplements, two things matter most. Does it work? And can you trust it? Rather than just tell you about Relief Factor, we'll let our customers do it. We hear from people every single day whose lives have changed, and we'd like you to hear a few of their stories. Chris has spent years doing physical work, leaving his feet sore at the end of the day. After starting Relief Factor, he felt so good he did something he'd never done before. He ran a half marathon. Now he tells all his friends about Relief Factor. I've got back issues. I've been taking Relief Factor every single morning for years. Without it, the back problems come back. They make it easy to find if you'll be the next person telling us Relief Factor gave you your life back. 3 weeks for just $17.76. Simply go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. You'll connect with our friendly local team and they'll do everything they can to help. We hope you'll be soon sharing your story with us too. ReliefFactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're rock and rolling. This is totally unorthodox. We have an absolute icon. He's probably the icon of all icons. So, none other than Dr. David Duke. He's been doing this. He's been fighting for white rights since I was a kid. We're both pretty long in the tooth. But listen, the new generation's coming on. You people that have been listening to Blood River tonight, we have three fellows from another organization. I'm old. I don't remember the name. But they'll tell you all that. But they're going to come on. They're Dr. David Duke is one of their heroes. I mean, who the hell is he not a hero to? They want to ask him a few questions, tell him how much they love him. We all do.
Oh, sure.
And, they're going to take it. They're smarter than I am. So anyway, I'm handing the phone and the mic to you, Isaiah. Here's Dr. David Duke, Isaiah.
All right. How are y'all doing, my friends? Glad to hear that you're standing up for our people, our heritage. And the truth is, we're standing up for all people, because if the Jews are successful and taking over this whole world, our people are over, and the rest of this earth will be over, because they're the greatest threat to humanity and the greatest threat to the European American people and all the European peoples. We love our people. We love our heritage. We believe in the rights of all people to preserve themselves. That's what our Declaration of Independence says in this country. And we have a right to also preserve our heritage, and to stand for that. You should always keep in mind and have it very seated deep in your heart that when you're speaking for the European American people to survive and to have their freedom and actually preserve their very existence in this world, their very existence on this planet, that you're fighting for right and you're fighting for justice. You're not trying to take away any other people's rights. You're trying to preserve a magnificent creation of nature and God. And we have a right to preserve ourselves and to fight for ourselves. And all of us now in this fight are getting very keenly aware that the real enemy, the ultra, by the way, I don't even consider myself a racist or a supremacist. What I believe is I'm a human rights activist, and the most basic human right of all is for every people to preserve themselves. They have a right to live. They have a right to live as their forefathers lived. They have a right to determine their own government. They have a right to live in a government that serves the interests of its own people, its own values and traditions, while the Jews are undermining every aspect of our society, undermining this world. Now they have massive influence and control in terms of these tech companies that can follow people around, that can control people, that can influence elections greatly. We can get into that if we have any questions on that. But there's ways that people wouldn't even realize that they can influence elections, as exposed by people like Robert Epstein, who talked about how that they had millions of votes, even in the Trump election against none other than Hillary Clinton. Because when they identify the votes, because they'll know where you go to on the internet, if they said reminders to vote for people they know they're going to vote for Clinton, even though Clinton still lost, you know, that's, he actually probably won even by a greater margin in that election. They can affect votes by reminding people they know will be voting for what their cause is. And just don't ever forget that Google, for instance, Google search controls 85% of the search engines in the world. So if you do a search in any person, any entity, any party, any idea, any theology, any historical event, I'm a PhD in history. I understand history very, very well. I've written books on it, My Awakening, Jewish Supremacism, and The Secret Behind Communism. If they have the ability to send you to whatever websites they want to, and to keep you from going to websites that they don't want you to go to, the power that they have over the mind is amazing, and that's what we're facing today. And Google, by the way, as well as Microsoft, and as well as all the major media networks. They're all in multi-billion contracts with the state of Israel. So don't let anybody fool you. Don't, you know, tell the world. Truth is, the same people who've destroyed the Palestinian rights and taken over that country. America was almost 90% white in 1915, 1920, when we had the American Restrictions Immigration Act, an act to try to protect the people, the population of the United States. And what happened was that bill was passed, and it worked. It worked for something like, not 60 years, but 40-something years, up until in the 1960s, when they passed the Immigration Reform Bill, which we knew was going to start changing America's demographic, which it certainly has. And now we've gone from almost 90%. When I went to LSU, and it's been a long time since I started that. But that was in 68. And in 68, we're almost 90% white country. We're 90% white almost till literally in the 1970s. And now we're really heading toward 50%. And we're heading for minus that, you know, to we'll be totally outnumbered. Our people hate us. Plus, they're also brainwashing our own people to hate our people. Yet the most racist people on planet Earth are the Jewish extremists, the Jewish supremacists. So you're fighting for freedom for your people, and you're really fighting for a decent world. And they've been leading this world to war. I hope all of you realize, I think you all do, you already understand that the First World War, the Second World War, all the wars since, even the Vietnam War and the war in Iraq and the war in Iran right now going on, all these wars were devastating to America. We spent trillions of dollars while we've undermined the American middle class, the white middle class. We've undermined all the middle class people. And we have become servants to this Jewish elite that controls so much of our society. And we have to stand up against that for our sake, for our children's sake, and for the sake of the world. So, Winnie, what you're fighting for, will anybody tell you that you're a racist or whatever else? You're fighting against the greatest threat to all mankind, and that's international Jewish power and influence. That's kind of my spiel. You got any questions?
Yes, Mr. Duke. By the way, I could not have said any of that better myself. What do you think is most essential for our struggle to preserve our race?
Okay, first off, you have to understand, this is the clarity of it, right? This is ironic that they call us white supremacists. We're not white supremacists, we're white survivalists. We believe we have a right to live. We believe in the right to, we have the right to keep this country as our forefathers built it, with the civil rights. And I call them civil rights. It's the civil rights to vote. It's the civil right to have a nation that stands up for your own people. Our own Constitution, the United States. I served in the House of Representatives, as you all know. And, you know, but in the Constitution of the United States, we say in the preamble, you know, that we're fighting. We want a government that exists for ourselves and our posterity. Ourselves and our posterity. That's the most natural interest of mankind. The irony is that the most racist people on earth are these Jewish extremists. They're anti-Christian, they're anti-European, they're anti-humanity. Even the New Testament talks about the fact that they're enemies of all humanity. Jesus Christ himself said these things. And they hate Christianity, but they also hate every other aspect of our culture. And whatever the religious beliefs you have, or whatever spiritual beliefs you have, I do believe in religious freedom. I am a Christian, but I do believe in religious freedom. And I do believe that I'm very much aware that Christianity literally taught that we have certain human rights. And the reason Jews hated Jesus and crucified him, and the reason why they're so anti-Christ today and they destroyed these things, is because they saw him as a threat to themselves, because they wanted the ultimate racial supremacism, which is Jewish racial supremacism. So to answer your question more specifically, what you have to understand, all of you, is there is no solving the problem, the enigma, the struggle for survival of our people and the freedom of our people without addressing the enemy which has been the greatest enemy of ourselves and all of mankind for literally thousands of years. It's kind of amazing that the people of the New Testament, the people of Christianity, knew this for years, where a lot of this threat was coming from. But it's important, unless we depose these Jews from their immense power in media, in banking, in government, we have no hope for America. And we definitely have to not only make sure that they don't have the power, but we also have to clean the Aegean stables. That's the old Greek thing of Hercules. We got to clean the Aegean stables of traitors like Donald Trump, who's totally betrayed us to a foreign nation and has led us to, you know, he betrayed us worse than Benedict Arnold did in the American Revolutionary War. And we have to get real leaders and truthful people to stand up for us, who always stand by, as long as they live, our ideas. I'm proud to say that I've been working on this cause since I was 14 years old. I got elected to the university. I got elected in Congress in Louisiana, the legislature in Louisiana. I spoke all over the world, got my PhD in Europe, in fact, even in Ukraine. And I was
David,
in Moscow.
Brother David, we got to go to a break, David. I guess we're going to let you go. We got another guy in from Charlotte. I want to thank you so much, Brother David. These guys love you.
Thank you.
Did
all.
Great.
God bless you all.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, we're running strictly by the seat of our pants. As a matter of fact, James just had to leave the room. We brought all kinds of equipment, but things haven't gone perfectly. We're going to have to hook up another mic, another headset. But me and James, in a few minutes, as soon as he gets back, we're going to talk about what the trip was down here. And we're going to, and that'll be a segment. It's going to be strictly filed by the seat of your pants. What we're trying to do, we're going to try to interview as many people as possible on Blood River tonight. And James is going to help me. I'm going to send in some with him on TPC. After all, we are a team. But we're going to, you know, when James gets back, we're going to talk about our trip down here and some of the same things that the young fellas talked about the palpable hatred of colors to white people. The palpable, venomous hatred of the United States government to the white people in the United States. They don't hate just Southerners. They hate all people, white people from American, especially Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, heterosexual whites, Christians. So that's what. But anyway, any minute, James will be coming back. But I'd just like to tell you, I enjoyed the trip coming down here very much. I'm enjoying it even more than I expected. The crowd is great. As you well know, you might know, there was some animosity here years ago between the League of the Southers and the Southern Cultural Center. There was a lot of infighting and stuff like that. The one of the main purposes, if not the main purpose of having this organization, is to reunite brothers, to heal some of those wounds, to heal some of the festering sores. And by the way, I was just telling you, me and James rode down together. And normally I have a big old Tupperware thing. Normally I'll have three or four things about, if you possibly need mics and stuff like anything you need, mics, stuff like that, headsets, but I didn't. So James just came back. He's got a mic. James, I was just telling the people, they talked about some of the things you and I talked about, inflation, what we noticed on the way down here, how much it costs just to buy a donut for Little Henry. Tell them a little bit about the trip, if you would, James.
Well, Eddie and I both brought our equipment, and we figured if we brought two of everything, one of each would probably work. But we're getting it. It's taking quite a bit of troubleshooting. But when you do these live broadcasts from the road, it is always trial and error. Although we have a great production team at the network and at the local station, and we very rarely run afoul. It's actually more at home that you have trouble when you're at the home studio. But we've had a great time in Alabama. So the Bombardier showed up my house yesterday. We were wheels up at 8:30, traveling due south, making great time. And we did stop at a gas station, and this is something that I was talking with Mike Wharton about, who is the president of the Southern Cultural Center, which is where we're at here in Wetumpka, Alabama, southernculturalcenter.com. Just has been a great weekend of fellowship and camaraderie and renewal. But I was talking to Mike last week, and he brought up the fact that there's a young man down here who was looking at buying land, but things are just so unaffordable. And we were just talking about how dismal the prospects are for young people, young men wanting to get married, wanting to buy a home, wanting to start a family, and how it's just they're completely priced out as a result of the crushing effect that illegal immigration primarily has had on the housing market. And that is something that has been a big topic of discussion down here. I mean, we ran into it, Eddie, as you mentioned, just in a very trivial sense, but no less shocking. We stopped at this gas station about halfway between Memphis and Wetumpka. 5.5 hour drive. We're about 2-3 hours in. We stop. We get some gas. That alone is a white knuckle experience, by the way, just getting the gas. But we went in, and my son and I, and Pappy, and we went in, and Henry got a bag of M&Ms, you know, just a regular, small, typical size, not a big bag, just a single-use bag of M&Ms, two donuts out of the cabinet there, and a small bag of beef jerky, three items, $17. $17 for beef jerky, a pack of M&Ms, and two donuts at a gas station in the rural South. And I thought that that had to be a mistake. And then the jerky alone was, you know, $10. Everything. A cup of coffee. Eddie was, like $4 and $5 for gas station at a truck stop. So that's a problem. And this is the thing. For the system to perpetuate itself, people have to buy into it. And people, though they grouse over the state of affairs that we have in this country, and though they don't like the way this country has been drifting for decades, certainly since World War II, well, you know, if they've got a house, if they've got food on the table, they're making a living, they've got a job, it's hard to get people like that to look to radical solutions. But in the next 10 years, and I don't think it'll be any longer than that, folks, and this has again been a talk of conversation. We've got some young men here right now who I'm sure can testify to this, but in another 10 years, Eddie, you'll certainly still be with us, but there may be some people your age that have that are going to be released from their mortal coils by then. When the boomers start to go on to their eternal reward, and the youth of this country who are very radicalized, much more radicalized, much more knowledgeable about race and Jewish power and influence than even I was at that age. And I've done this professionally my entire life, but it wasn't really until I was 19 or 20 that I really began to look into this. It wasn't really until I started working for Buchanan that I started looking into a lot of these things. And so what I'm saying is, when people cannot get a job, they cannot buy a house, they cannot have a family, those are the people they're going to be looking towards more radical solutions. And I think that that's something that is going to come. I don't see how this economy is going to make it. I don't see, if you stop and get a bag of M&Ms and two donuts and it's $17, how anybody's supposed to be able to live in this country. And what's old may become new again. And in this case, for the purposes of where we're at this weekend, the cause of Southern nationalism, having an independent home for a people who are very distinct people still. And the Southern people are still, should still be their own nation. They are distinct from the other people who live on this continent. And that is, of course, the first prerequisite of being a nation. But, you know, we all needed the 10 years of the Trump experiment to see what would happen. And to, as that has played out and sort of fizzled, certainly towards the end, the idea of nationalism is, particularly Southern nationalism, is going to be something that's going to be, people are going to take another look at. So this is the things people are talking about. You've had sort of a mix of Sunday morning service this weekend, even on Friday and Saturday. There's been a mix of pastors delivering biblical messages. You've had Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent, Michael Hill, Mike Wharton here of the Southern Cultural Center, and others speaking on political topics. It's been a good mix. Great fellowship. Full house. There's not an empty seat out there. So it's just, and of course, Eddie, you know, you and I go back to my campaign for the state legislature in 2002.
What were you, 19 then? You were
young. I was 21. Yeah. I turned 22 that summer, actually.
You look like these guys right here.
Yep. About like it.
You said several things that Bob Nelly had. You mentioned $17 or something. I remember when I first got home from the Army a long time ago, we were complaining about $20 for a week of groceries.
You couldn't get any three items off the grocery shelf for $20 now. I don't care what it is. You go any three items off the grocery shelf, $20.
And people, I ask these fellows here, and they just got through attesting what you said. They know young white people that are having a hard time keeping food on the table. They can't buy homes. Just today, Dr. Hill was talking about a young woman who had to move back home with her parents. She's in her 30s, and she's losing her house. She can't keep up with it. You mentioned radicalized, and I've said this over
I've heard that a lot, by the way. I've heard from several people recently that their adult children are coming back home because of the circumstances, and that there's no shame in that, by the way. First of all, that is the sign that those people have good homes to come back to. Yes. That's a big thing for us. I mean, because that's where civilization begins, is at home. I mean, the womb is the breeding ground for civilization. So you want to have strong homes, and you want to have a place where your kids feel welcome, not just in their childhood, but always. Absolutely. So that is a healthy society when you have that, but it also it is a in that way, but it is very unhealthy society economically speaking when grown adults can't who had been making a living can no longer make a living.
You know what I understand? You mentioned the boomers. I don't know why the boomers can't see what these fellows here can. And you mentioned people becoming more radicalized. I'm gonna get this really quick. Sam Dixon once at the conference years ago, 2007, a man said, when will white people stand up and change the world? He said, when they lose everything, when a white man loses everything, he loses it. People, that's the end of the first hour. I think it's a dynamite first hour. Well, we're going to go get other people in. They're here to speak in a minute. Me and James are going to be running this show for five more hours. So go get some coffee, take a leak. You get about 4 minutes, but don't be late. 4 minutes. Be right back, folks.